In Revelation 10 and 11, God's wrath intensifies while humanity's defiance deepens. A mighty angel with divine authority, mysterious witnesses in Jerusalem, and an anti-Christmas celebration mark these tumultuous events. But as the earth quakes and judgment descends, heaven resounds with a triumphant song. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. Today, we'll explore God's sovereign control and how we can have hope.
The book of Revelation has been revealing in rather dramatic fashion some of the events that take place on earth during the tribulation period. People living on the earth are going to remain defiant even though they're experiencing the direct judgment of God and they know it's coming from God. They're going to be unrepentant. They're deceived by the Antichrist so that they refuse to surrender to God. And oh, the trouble they are in with God, and yet they will refuse to repent. Well, as we sail today on our wisdom journey through these next two chapters in Revelation, it really ought to increase our gratitude for having been rescued from this wrath to come. Now, as we arrive today at chapter 10, time is running out for the human race. By now, more than half the world's population has been wiped out. It's almost time for the seventh and final trumpet to sound. Now, before the trumpet blast is heard, John writes that he sees a mighty angel descending from heaven to the earth. This angel has some rather amazing features. Verse 1 says that he's wrapped in a cloud, that he has a rainbow over his head. This, of course, reminds us of the authority of God that he has, because back in chapter 4 and verse 3, there was a rainbow encircling the throne of God. Now, we're told here in verse 1 that he had a face like the sun and legs like pillars of fire, and this pictures his power and the authority he's been given to speak. Verse 2 adds that he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. Well, this posture suggests that the message he's going to deliver is global. Now, he's carrying, verse 2 says, a little scroll open in his hand. Now, this isn't the scroll that Jesus has already opened back in chapters 5 and 6. In fact, here it could be translated a small book. It apparently contains information about these final judgments that are going to unfold. Now, verse 3 tells us that the angel called out with a loud voice like a lion roaring, and the seven thunders sounded. Well, this is an affirmation of God himself who has sent this angel with his divine message. And John is about to write down what the angel said, but he's stopped by a voice from heaven. He's told to keep what the angel says a secret. Now, wouldn't you like to know what this angel said? Well, I got to tell you, I would, but John is not allowed to record it. And by the way, this is a reminder that while God's word is sufficient for what we need, it's not exhaustive. Some things are to remain hidden from us for now. Well, John then hears the angel swearing an oath based on the truth of God being the creator of all things. In other words, if God is indeed the creator, and he is, you can be sure this angel is about to tell the truth, because God never lies. And here's the message. He's warning the rest of the human race that there will be no more delays as God now accelerates his end times plan. And with that, John becomes an object lesson for every believer to this day. He's told to eat this little book, and he does. And he finds that it's sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his stomach. That is, it tasted great, but it gave him a stomach ache, the kind I get if I eat something that's too rich or sweet before bedtime. Well, this little book is sweet because it's God's word. It's bitter because it delivers God's judgment. This also is a reminder, beloved, that when you share with others the word of God, it's both good news and bad news. It can be sweet to some, but it can be upsetting to others. but we're to deliver all of it. Now, following this, we arrive at chapter 11. John is given here a measuring rod, and he's told to go measure the temple, that is the inner temple consisting of the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Now, the temple that he's measuring here is the one built during the tribulation. We know from Scripture there will be a temple built during that glorious millennial kingdom of Christ on earth, Ezekiel 40 to 43. But John is measuring the temple that was built by the Antichrist. It'll later be desecrated by the Antichrist when he enters it and declares himself to be God. We're told that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, John is not measuring the courtyard of the temple, chapter 11, verse 2 tells us here, because it's fallen into the hands of Gentiles, and they're just trampling, he writes, the holy city for 42 months. Well, 42 months is the last half of the tribulation period, 3.5 years. That's not all that's happening in Jerusalem during this period of time. For the first half of the tribulation, two witnesses will be preaching in Jerusalem. Verse 3 tells us that these witnesses have unique authority and power from God. In fact, verse 5 tells us that if anybody tries to harm them, they're going to be destroyed by fire that literally comes out of their mouths. So imagine that kind of protection. Well, these witnesses also have the power to withhold rain, turn water into blood, and verse 6 says, to strike the earth with every kind of plague. Well, you can imagine how the Antichrist and his followers are going to hate these witnesses, but they're not going to be able to touch them or harm them as they prophesy of Christ's soon coming. Well, eventually, verse 7 tells us, when these two anonymous witnesses have finished their testimony, this is the midpoint of the tribulation, the beast, and this is the Antichrist, as we'll see later, he will finally be able to kill these two men. And when he does, their bodies are going to be left lying out in the open, and their deaths will launch a global celebration. We're told here in verse 10, those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and exchange presents. Think about that. They're going to make merry and exchange presents. This is the Antichrist's anti-Christmas. They have everything here but Christmas trees. But let me tell you, their party isn't going to last very long. In verses 11 and 12, John describes what he sees in his vision. After 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. I mean, everybody is stunned here. They're going to drop their Christmas cake and their punch on the floor. And at that moment, the next verse tells us, a great earthquake levels 1/10 of the city of Jerusalem. It also tells us that 7,000 people die. Well, let me tell you, that's the end of the party. But not in heaven. Now the scene shifts back to heaven for this very encouraging vision. God knows that the Apostle John can only handle so much terrifying news, these visions without a break, and we're the same way. So we're going to get a break here as verse 15 just sweeps us back up to heaven, and John hears the sound of the seventh trumpet. Now this trumpet contains the seven bowls that pour out God's final acts of judgment. But what are the redeemed in heaven doing? Well, they're not worried about the Antichrist at all. They're not concerned about the power of Satan and his demons. They're not wondering if the cause of Christ is going to lose in the end. No, the redeemed are singing, they're chanting. Verse 15 gives us the lyrics. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Beloved, every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ are going to be part of this grand choir, celebrating in this great worship service in heaven as the sovereign rule of Christ, his reign in this coming kingdom is promised again and again. So What do you do today in the meantime? We're not going to go through the tribulation. It's going to be a while before we come back with Christ for the kingdom. What do we do in our lives today? Well, let's rehearse this song. Let's remember these victory lyrics. No matter what it looks like around you, no matter who seems to be in control, no matter how much the devil seems to be advancing in the world today, well, you just keep singing this song. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, that is his anointed Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
As tribulation mounts, the true message of Revelation 10 and 11 reminds us that Christ's reign is assured, and worship continues uninterrupted in heaven. Stand firm, trusting his eternal victory. Thanks for listening today. This is The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Today's lesson is called Peril on Earth, Praise in Heaven. If you'd like to learn more about us and explore our resources, I encourage you to visit our website at wisdomonline.org. There you can access Stephen's entire Bible teaching library that includes every broadcast and hundreds of sermons from over four decades of teaching. One of the key features of our site is the daily broadcast. We post each day's lesson right on the homepage, so if you ever miss a broadcast, you can easily catch up. And if you'd like to revisit previous lessons, you can navigate back through the archives to find any lesson you've missed. This allows you to stay connected with our daily Bible teaching ministry, no matter when or where you tune in. In addition to these daily broadcasts, Stephen's complete sermon library is available on that site. He's preached through hundreds of passages, and all of his sermons are organized by book of the Bible. If there's a book you want to study, you can browse through Stephen's teachings, listen to the sermon, or read the manuscript. You'll find all of this and more at wisdomonline.org. Visit there today, then join us back here next time to continue traveling along the wisdom journey.